Good morning. Before I share today, I just want to share a bit in terms of after I prepared my what I was going to share today, and then I was just as we've been practicing waiting on the Lord and said, what do you want to really speak to your people today? And this is what I felt was said is, my people need to know personally that I love them. And the analogy he gave me is that, like Pastor giving the example about the prime minister or a king, he can declare, he said, I love my people, right? On the TV or something, or a politician where he says, I'm fighting for you, or I really care about what your needs is, right? And other people can tell us that, for example, Jesus loves you, or the king really cares for you, for example. But it is so different when we get it personally from him, that when we get this encounter and when he says, I love you, when we get that personal encounter, that is going to bring us a bit higher. That's going to result in heart transformation. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it's like, for us, maybe you've heard that, obviously I think you've heard that Jesus loves you. You've sang the song, Jesus Loves Me. But have you heard personally from Jesus that when he says to you, I love you, my son, my daughter, my child? And I feel like what I'm sharing today, it's coming up from that personal thing that when we touch God, truly, then when he speaks to you, it is like a personal thing that you receive. That, wow, I know my God loves me. I know my God may be this way. I know. Then your identity will become very different. Amen? You are not just being a quote-unquote Christian because it's an organization, it's a religious club and all this, but truly you understand what Jesus has done for you. Amen? All right? So, and I feel... even when today, as you all realize, today's worship is very different, very powerful. It's just another level. And I really felt that, wow, God just wants to speak to each and everyone and maybe give you a big hug or whatever it is that you see, that personal affection that God wants to give to all of us today. Amen? All right, so... yeah, so I just thought of declaring that before I forget and go into the sharing today. So today what I'm sharing is got to do with that, where we talk about our Christian walk needs to be progressing from maturity to maturity. And when I shared last time from the Song of Solomon, in terms of what it is, it's like a whole recap. Hopefully you understand, because that's the heart of the song of the book of the Song of Solomon. But I'll go a bit further in detail. But today, what God is speaking to us is that, how do we start this journey or this process of maturity? So we're going to come back to Solomon's chapter 1, where, this is the beginning of the journey of the Shulamite woman and how her love and maturity grows with the king. So, and hopefully by sharing this is that hopefully we see that every one of us, firstly, will go through a process of maturity. All of us has our own journey, right? And depending on which season we are in, the message is always consistent, where God, our Father, is always looking at it and say, come on, keep pursuing, keep seeking me. I want to bring you to a higher level. I will bring you to a higher level. It doesn't matter how long we've been Christian. It doesn't matter how long ago we've said the sinner's prayer and truly born again. But at every season, there is something for us from God. Amen? All right? So for this one, whatever it is that you've gone through and whatever you are struggling with, but this is, I believe, is the beginning of the overcoming or the maturity process. All right. So just to recap quickly about the Song of Solomon is that, firstly, we must know that every book, every scripture is written in inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So we see with the Song of Solomon, we don't see it as, oh, it's just a poetic book, so nice, like, nice love story. But we must see in every book, in fact, right, that each book in the Bible is magnifying Jesus to inspire us to know Him more, love and obey Him. So the more Jesus is revealed to us, His beauty, His emotion for us, then our response should be then wholehearted love and obedience. So with the Song of Solomon's, you know, who can guess how many songs Solomon had actually made or written? Who can sort of guess? 100? 1,000? 10,000? Somebody shout? About 1,000, right? 1,000 songs. But yet, this song is called the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So it starts off with this, Solomon chapter 1, verse 1, and it's, he titled it this way, and it's, the Holy Spirit inspired him to put it in this title. So what is similar to this is the Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but this is Song of Songs. So obviously there is something in this book that is for us, you know, about how is it that Jesus will be revealed to us. And with the characters, there's four main characters. Firstly, everyone read with me, King Solomon. All right, he is known as the Beloved. All right, and the spiritual interpretation is that this is our Christ, the Bridegroom King, the victorious, powerful King. But yet, he's also a Bridegroom that is filled with desire and affection for His people. Now, when you put that personally to yourself, then you experience it differently. When you see Jesus as a Bridegroom coming back for you. Then the next one is the Shulamite. Everyone say with me, Shulamite woman. All right, so who does she represent? It represents the Bride of Christ, the Church. So all of us here, okay? And then the third one is, everyone say, Daughters of Jerusalem. All right, so they are what we call sincere but spiritually immature believers. In the Book of Solomon, which I won't go in today, is they actually ask the Shulamite woman, how this love that you have, how? We also want. It's talk something like that. And then the last one is the watchman, which is spiritual leaders. So what this means is that our maturity process, as we see, the maturity process of the Shulamite woman involves the watchman, which represents the spiritual authority. So in our walk, in our maturity process, we cannot also just view it as, this is my walk, my individual, it's just me and God. But God places spiritual authority in our life in order to push us in the right direction. If we've gone astray, there is discipline to change our course. Amen? So we got to see it both, it is an individual process, but yet it is also corporate fulfillment. Amen? All right? And so we see that there's two main themes in the Song of Solomon, where it is firstly the revelation of God's emotion, love, delight for His people. So again, I just tie back to what God spoke to me this morning about, we, each and every one of us, really need to experience this personally first, this love of God, this great love of God. And second is a call to come back to the greatest and first commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, or with all your strength. Right? So this is basically the theme of Book of Songs of Solomon. And just like David, David is described as a man after God's own heart. So he understood what God's emotion is, what's God's desire for him and for his people as well. All right? So this is still intro. Hopefully you get all this. And the recap from what I shared last time, it's kind of jumping here and there to cover the whole book so that we get a whole idea, is that firstly, Jesus' great love for His church is demonstrated in this. He loved the church and He gave Himself. And we're all familiar with Romans 5:8, where it says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Number two, He, because of His great love, He is sanctifying and cleansing the church, because the church still have things, wrong mindsets, you know, wherever they got it from, wrong ideas, that needs to be cleansed out. There are traditions, there are divisions, there are denominations, whatever it is, there's still things to be restored in His church in order for Him to come to number three, that when He comes back, He wants to come, He comes back for His perfect church. So here, we need to see Song of Solomon both, as I repeat it again, is that individual process of our love, but also that corporately, that when Jesus comes back, He's come back for His church. Amen? All right? So this is just recap. And hopefully from the revelation that we receive from His love. And one of the things I receive as well, especially from the church camp when we got this, is that, you know, hopefully the response, what in return is, we develop love obedience. Right? Remember, there is love obedience. We don't want just to have duty-based obedience, which is something that we keep doing even though we don't feel it. Right? We see like, no, this is a command, I'll do it, I'll do it. Or fear obedience, where it is a fear of negative consequences. What's the difference? Only love obedience will result in heart transformation, and hence, it will be the most consistent. It will be the one that lasts longer, right? So we want to develop this love obedience. Now, when we do, you no more say, oh, I don't feel like it, I don't want to do it, but I just do it anyway, which is called duty-based. But when you see that love of God, you say, oh, Lord, one of the things He says, you know, I'm doing it for You, with You. No more doing it just for You, even though I don't feel like, but I'm doing it with You. Holy Spirit, let's work together. Then that's very different, the love obedience that comes out of it. Number two is about the progressive maturity. We talk about, you know, that God is challenging our comfort zone. Every time we are under the shady apple tree, enjoying apples, raisins, or whatever they call it, right? In every season of our life, it's probably we have apple trees. And then we get kicked out of our apple tree. We go up a level when God calls us, not kick. God calls us, and then we obey and go up. Then on that mountain, there's another apple tree, and we start to enjoy that little mountain. But there's another mountain to climb. So every time we see us here, this progressive maturity doesn't mean we've breakthrough one area, then we stop. There's another area to break through, right? And sometimes, if we go backwards, maybe we come down the mountain, then maybe that's where discipline will come. Hey, why are you going backwards? Time to go back up. It's the wrong way. Or wrong mountain you're climbing, right? We want to climb the mountain that God has called us to. Amen? All right? And then the last one is we see when in chapter 8, when the woman is so-called has reached this maturity point in terms of her love for the beloved, then the language is so different. He said, oh, I will rise up early in the morning to go into the field. So there is this now, this change of heart. No more, because now she knows that whenever she does anything, she's doing it with the Lord and she's doing it unto the Lord. Okay, so same for us. So hopefully this, you remember this. If not, go to the Evangel website. I'm sure my message is uploaded there somewhere. Yep, okay. So, yes. And all right. So yes, it is uploaded there. Just look for it. And as we mature with Him, we also see His heart for others in the family and those outside. So we see this growth. All right. Now, so this is a recap on the Song of Solomon. Now, to recap back, to put it in context in terms of what God has been speaking to us in Evangel, we know that Pastor Ludwig has been sharing this, right? That how do we know when the people are ready for the coming back of the Lord, is this. This will be fulfilled, right? The hearts of the fathers turn to the children and children to the father. And he gave these very simple points of saying, one is the people will respond to the love of the father. Second is we are responding to our spiritual parents. And then the last one is to the physical parents. And we need to know that Jesus is coming back for a perfect and pure bride for himself. So here, the Song of Solomon is going to reveal or hopefully fulfill one aspect of this, is that we come back to know the revelation of the Father. And then we will fulfill that first commandment, all right? In like the book of Revelation where it says, you have left your first love. So basically, this is a call back to come back to our first love. Amen? All right, so put it in context. This is not just a lesson on Song of Solomon. It is something that we learn from there, all these different things, but it relates back to what God has been speaking in Evangel. All right? Okay. And you see a lot more. I like to always take people's message here and there and combine it here and there, because we want to see how God has truly speak to us. It's not, this is just, oh, let me have another book for Song of Solomon, one another book for, like Pastor Louis shared about the purpose or the power of one. It's not like that. It's all got to do with our walk. Amen? All right, so here, So God will restore the first commandment in the right place before he returns. So we are connecting this. So let's read this scripture together. 1, 2, 3. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And John 15, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So again, here, this scripture is talking about returning back to the Father's love. All right? As our love matures, one of the things that Mike Bickle, who's the one that teaches us about the Song of Solomon, is that he said this: mature love will always result in mature partnership, which means it's not just love, you know, and all this feeling nice, feeling comfortable, but out of it will come out something. Right? And the action that will come out as a result of that is this mature partnership, the love obedience that, as we said just now. All right? So, and in the last days, it will be even more important. It will be even more important because if our love with him is not strong, then like what the book of Revelation said, you know, if we love not our life to death, right, then we cannot overcome. Which means we need to have that kind of love that even though there is this danger of losing our life, we will still say no. We will still love our Lord. God is number one. And these are all the things that we have to really, really be grounded. Amen? And as God speaks to me about being like this mature son, it's not enough. It's not enough to just go, "Oh, I'm a son, so this mine, this is mine, I own this, this is my church." But then I forgot about who am I son to? Who is my father? Why what is my father speaking? Right? And when I've gone through the book of the Song of Solomon's, the sessions, one of the things that it just brings me back is this: is do I really know my father so that I know what kind of son I should be? Yeah? So we don't want to just focus on, "Oh, I'm a son, so I'm inheriting this, I've got this and that," you know. It's good. It's not saying that it's bad, but we need to come back to know the Father. Amen? All right? Okay. So the Song of Solomon, now I'm going into my message, okay? I've got 4 points today. Firstly, I see this again when I first started as well, to be really serious with my relationship with God, is that here it begins. So we know that Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 1 says this is the Song of Songs. And then number 2, it starts with this, right? "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine." Now this is what the woman declared to his beloved way before her journey. Right, so for us, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for us? Firstly, before even the journey starts, she already made this declaration. Let him, right? She's basically saying, let God work in me first. Let God work in me first. So firstly, she said this, a decision to encounter Jesus in intimacy. So all of us, whatever seasons we are at, whatever things we are going through, whatever, even if we think it's so difficult or I'm not there yet, this is the first thing we have to do. We make this declaration. I want to know you. I want to love you. Teach me. From after today's sharing, teach me about this love of God. You know, that has to come up from, and it's not just declaring because Dino says so, because Dino's PowerPoint wrote there, so I declare it as it is. But it must be truly with that heart intention to know him, right? And we see Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, right? Daniel, we see at the beginning before his great things that happened to him with the visions and all that, right in chapter 1, first thing, he made a decision, right? I will not defile myself, right? And it's interestingly, it also says wine here, all right? I'll explain again what wine means later. But basically, right from the beginning, we see that we can almost pinpoint to the success of Daniel is this. This decision he makes, I will not defile myself. Which means he said, God, whatever you say, whatever your commandments that's been written, that's the one I'm going to follow. I'm not going to let anything else sway me. And then Pastor Joseph declared in Friday prayer meeting and just now about this thing where Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being conformed to his death. So here, all of us as well, do we really have that heart intention, heart decision to say, firstly, that I may know him? Yeah? And John chapter 17 says, well, eternal life is to know God. So whether we, wherever we are at, our role is we must continue to know him. Let's keep that in mind. So here, we see this spiritual interpretation of this verse 2 is basically a prayer for the grace of God to be able to love Jesus with our whole heart. So here, is we want to turn back, right? Something that we learn about as well, pray reading the word, so making it personal and praying it back, is that, you know, you can put it back and say, Father God, let Jesus, him, kiss me or touch me, right? With the kisses of your word. So here, it's a declaration and a prayer already, right up from the beginning. Okay, so wherever we are. And also in verse 4, which I haven't written here, she said, draw me away. So it's like saying, take me with you. I want to just be with you. All right, so again here, I remembered again when I was being serious with God, one of the things I said is, whatever class there is, last time we had morning prayer meeting on Friday, 5 a.m., and, you know, morning class and all this, I went for it because it's like, God, I want to be serious. I want to. It looks like the outward thing about attending this looks religious, right? And Pastor Ludwig shared last week about, you know, is the place important? You know, is life group important? Is Friday prayer meeting important? Is Sunday service important? Yes and no. How come? Right? We must see why is it that you are doing it. When you go to that place, what is your heart intention? So when I made that decision, it started off with, God, I want to know you more. Hence, I make this decision to go. It's not, Pastor say the class here, so I better go, right? Or Pastor say prayer meeting is Fridays, everyone has to go. Oh, okay. Like, do you see where the heart is now? Can you see? Even Sundays, I better go to Sunday because if not, my life group leader might call me or pastor may call me. You know, these are all wrong heart attitudes that I say to myself, I can develop over the years. It may start off right, but then some days we feel like, really like don't want or, you know, just feel. But then if our heart decision is that, no, God, whatever it is, I want to know you. Let you touch me with your word, okay? So that's number one. Everyone say, it begins with a declaration of love. Okay, this declaration of the love must come from a true heart intention, true heart, okay? Number two, okay, it begins, everyone say with me, it begins with receiving his word. Okay, so this next part here, the kisses of his mouth. Now, the Song of Solomon will have a lot of poetic love language, right? So we need to learn to interpret it properly and how it applies to us spiritually, okay? So here, we know that the kiss here represent is spiritual intimacy, right? It is about encountering the Word of God by the Holy Spirit and letting Him touch our heart with the Word of God, okay? So we know this verse very well, right? Matthew 4:4. Like, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So here, let's take this, right? It's not just something for us to start our spiritual journey, but it's something to sustain us as well in our journey. So as soon as we stop having the word of God, then we will lose momentum. Then we will slack off. And I can see this in my own life as well. As soon as you stop receiving the word of God for yourself, and it's not just about reading, like, you know, last time I started off with, what do you call it? When I first, Dino, read one Psalm, one proverb a day. It's good for you. So I will read, okay, choose one, highlight, okay, that's the one for me today. And then Psalms, this one. Oh, yeah, what do you call it? Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Yep, that's a good one to know, right? And again, I'm not saying it's bad. All right, discipline in reading the Word of God is like, or the soap that we have is good, but we need to go further. Or I see that I had to go further than that. It's not about just tick, I've done my, today is what? Today is the 10, I've read Psalms 10, I've read Proverbs 10, okay, I'm good, right? But it's truly, what do I do with the word? Okay, so that's number one. It's not just about reading the written word, okay? Now, I'm not talking that this is all bad, okay? One is this progression of my own life. I see that as I go deeper, there is a call to go deeper, even deeper into the Word of God. Or how I define by this Word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right, we can first say it is the written word, yes, right? This is God's word. But second, then we talk about insights. Oh, the rhema word is when you read and then something pops up to you, that's your rhema word, right? Have you all heard this? Right, okay, in my training, in my growing up, right? Yeah, that's good, again, but still, there is a limitation in terms of that because you just read and then you just wait. Oh yeah, that one looks good, yep. Oh, I experienced this yesterday, so it applies, right? So you got that, the insight. Oh, that's my rhema word, okay? Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying this is the progression I see for myself, okay? Then recently, we learned about pray reading the word. I was like, wow, what is this, right? It's a new one. Okay, whatever word we are reading, yes, there is the insight, but after that, there is even more to receive from that insight. So something that we learned from the camp is that, you know, the pray reading the word is using what you have read and praying it back to God, right? And then when you pray it back to God, God gives you even more. So one thing, the difference between, let me say that level two, the insights and the pray reading is, insight is like this. I go, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, the Lord will take care of me. Oh, today I'm going through a lot of things. The Lord will take care of me. Okay, I go back. Okay, I go out or whatever. But the pray reading is like this. The Lord is my shepherd. Cool, okay. Lord, I thank you for this truth. I thank you for this promise that you are my shepherd. You are always taking care of me. Show me more what it means to be your shepherd. And then, what it means that you are my shepherd. Then I begin to wait and then, oh, that means I'm his sheep. So I got to listen to his voice. Lord, make me, help me to always hear your voice. Help me to always follow the shepherd. So can you see it's going a bit more? The more time you're giving to God about your reading the word, when you pray reading, you pray back, God gives you something, then you pray it back again, and then you're getting more and more. So like, let your voice, let the shepherd's voice be louder. Lord, I really want to shut down all other voices. I only want to hear your voice. So can you see by pray reading the word, it's a bit different. Okay, so this is something I just started because we went through like the camp and all this, but it's getting a lot more. So even what I'm doing with Pastor Machin, you know, memorizing Psalms, you know, I do about 3 verses a day. Even from that simple 3 verses, but after that, the whole day, once I memorized it, then I can just communicate with God. What does it mean? Why did David say it like this? Why? And Pastor will give her insight as well. And then I begin to also pray that back to God. And so it begins to develop a lot more, right? And then the last one is this thing that we do today is about waiting on the Lord. That one is even more something I just tap a bit on it, right? And we just have to go into it. And Mike Bickle says this, right? The difference between just reading the word and just having whatever insights and actually experiencing and praying the word and pray reading is this. If you go to a restaurant and you only read the menu and then you close the menu and you go home and then someone asks you, have you gone to this new restaurant? Yes, I have. Have you seen what they have? Yeah, very good food. Have you tasted? No, never ordered. That is the difference between, this is how he described it, about pray reading and experiencing God's dynamic communication with him and then just reading it. Then you can say, if this person that is just going, oh, I know, I memorized the menu from item 1 to item 30. I memorized all the drinks they have. Oh, I even have it on my Google search here, right? This restaurant. But I've never been. Is that a big difference? Yeah? So this is something that I also feel like as we go into this deeper and deeper, and Pastor is encouraging us to journal it as well. Wow, even more. I'm just receiving this even more, right? So just from verse 2 of Song of Solomon, we're getting so much, right? Oh, I'm getting so much, right? Then I begin to see, it's like, yes, firstly, in anything that whatever I want to go into, in terms of the work of the Word of God, first I must say, I want to, Lord, help me, right? That declaration, yes, I want to know you more. Second, I can't just make that declaration and not do anything. Then I need it by His Word, right? There is things to learn through His Word. And then the last one is that I also have to ask Holy Spirit to help me. All right. So with the prayer reading, sorry, I'm coming back to the prayer reading. The word. This is the 4 points he gave. If you want to write this down, right? How to pray read is number one. If there is a promise or truth, you thank God for it. Okay. So for I take that example again. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the promise that God is our shepherd. He takes care of us. Then number two, from that you said, Lord, give me more understanding and reveal more what it means, or whatever that truth means. Okay? That's two, all right? So that's about promise. If you get an exhortation or an instruction or a commandment, right, then the third one is you have to make this commitment to obey. Lord, I will hear your voice. I want to hear the shepherd's voice. Okay? I make a decision that I will hear his voice, right? And then the last one, number four, is ask Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Spirit, help me to continue to hear your voice daily, not just once a week, but daily, as often as possible. Help me. Okay? So that's prayer reading the word. So just about his word alone, we can go a bit deeper in that. Okay? All right. Continuing on Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. So we go to the last part where she says, for your love is better than wine. So here, it's talking to me about setting our priorities, right? Because wine, according to Mike Bickle's interpretation, is it can represent both good and bad. Okay, the good one is the what we call circumstantial blessings from God. So, good thing Pastor Luik already shared this last week, right? And it is uploaded on the website, I've checked, and even the PowerPoint, even if you can't listen to the whole message, if you just go in the PowerPoint and just read the 8 P's, right? The place, the power, performance, provisions. Okay, everyone looks blank. All right? Pleasures, popularity, promise, promotion. Yes? Is it all coming back? Okay? Right? In the end, what is the purpose of the pursuit? Is to know the person more. Who? Jesus, right? So that's one. For what purpose we are pursuing all the different, what I call it, P's, okay? Then wine also represents the bad wine of sin's pleasure. So things that the world can offer that will, in quote unquote, intoxicate us, which means we are like so liking it, but it's like we just want it more and more. But this is bad, all right? Bad wine. So here it says that your love is better than wine. So what she's saying is, she's proclaiming, I want something better than wine, which is whatever that is giving me pleasure, giving me a sense of satisfaction. That is not what's going to satisfy. What's going to satisfy me is when I understand his love, when I understand him more and more as a person, when I understand, like Song of Solomon, when I understand his emotions, his desires, his his desires for his church. So here, we need to ask ourselves, what are we pursuing at the moment? What am I pursuing? Daily, we got to ask as well, what am I pursuing? All right? And also, if some of us are indeed struggling with something, this is what he declares, is that sometimes we need that discipline of saying no, no, no to the sin, but the thing that's going to make us overcome is then we have to say yes to something else to replace it. So the pursuit of him is going to help us overcome or free us from the bondage of sin. All right? So just as we use the Word of God to cleanse us, to cleanse our mind, so then that the more we spend time on the Word, then the better it is how we can be released from the bondage. Okay? So we have to turn around and focus. This is his words, right? We have to focus on the superior pleasure of his word. Oops. Okay, the superior pleasure of his word. All right, so we have to turn around from the no Yes, we have to say that the discipline, but then turn to the superior pleasures from His word. Okay? Are you all getting this? Yes. Yep. All right, everyone say with me, begins by setting our priorities. Okay. And then last one, and this is what I end with, the conclusion and the last point is, it also begins with the paradox of grace. So here is when she was able to see the grace of God. So here, in Solomon's chapter 1, verse 5, 8, 15, we see here is that what she keeps declaring is, I'm dark. All right? But, not so good. My heart is not tender and all this. But yet, the beloved declares, no, you are fair, but you are lovely. Right? We see here the paradox of grace. So dark here represents fallenness, sinfulness, our weaknesses, or whatever it is. But we are lovely to God still because of His grace. All right? So we run to Him, not from Him, whenever we see that we fail. Because the enemy will try all his best to accuse us, to put us to shame, to paralyze us. Which means, if we fall, he will jump out and say, see, you're no good, you do this, right? And if we listen to that voice, then it will paralyze us in terms of our pursuit for God. So here, it will give us a true identity of who we are, right? Because how you declare or how you see yourself, that's going to appear as your identity. Just like when I begin to hear about this thing about being the sons of God, the true sons of the house or mature sons of God, then I begin to see, oh, my identity is different. There's a lot more to my identity as a sons of God, right? So, and we know that Pastor has been declaring this a lot about God pouring His grace and, you know, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So here, that will only work for those who are sincere, all right? So here, if we see from her declaration again, even though she said, I'm dark, but lovely to God, but my own vineyard heart I have not kept, here she already declared, she has no hidden agenda, she's saying, I'm weak, but I really want you, God. I'm weak, I'm struggling with this, but I really want you. My heart is not there yet, right? Because I've not kept is a negative, but I still want you. Remember that first declaration is she still wants. So the my own heart here is talks about sincere believers, right? And only when we are sincere in terms of we wanting to grow in God, then only then can we receive the grace of God to change. Only then we begin to discover more and more about the love of Jesus. Then as we commune more with the Holy Spirit, right? This is what we learn from, again, Grace's message, right? You go back to the website, go and look for that message, right? About explaining the grace, the love, and the communion. What does that do in terms of our maturity process? Amen? All right? So hopefully by doing all these things, we see here that the maturity process is to a goal as well, is to have a pure and perfect bride, right? That all of us have our destiny that God has written for each and every one of us. All of us here, that God really view us individually, that He wants all of us to grow, and not only as individual, but corporately, as His body of Christ. Amen? All right? So, and when I repeat this, hopefully by doing this, we truly see our identity in Christ. Because if not, if we have the wrong mindset of who we are in Christ, then we cannot go further. All right? And this is the thing that encouraged me most in terms of my identity in God. By knowing my Father more, then my identity grows as well. By spending more time with Him about what He's saying to us, then I'm getting encouraged. You know, He's not a Father that's so-called disappointed in us, but rather is someone who's always encouraging us to go higher. And that's the heart of the song. So is that wherever we are at, if once we make that decision, we will grow. Once we keep at it, God will make us grow. Amen? All right? So maybe, and we know that this year, Pastor has declared that, right, it's a year of increase. A year of increase by how? By having intimacy with God. Then we have the increase in the different areas that my wife has shared. Okay, again, if you forget. But through that increase, then we have immunity, right? You remember the eyes, right? Intimacy, increase, and immunity. So if we have to experience all this, there must be, it must start from somewhere. There must be a certain point where we say, maybe repent first. God, I really have gone away. I've really slacked. I've really compromised. But let you work in my heart, right? Just like the Shulamite woman said, let him touch me with his word. God, I'm going to let you touch me with your word. Holy Spirit, help me, right? We have to start somewhere and let it be today. Amen? All right, let's declare this as a prayer to God. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'll say it with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, today I make a decision to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Lord, truly I want to make that decision today. That it's my true intention, that it's the true intention of my heart. That I want to know you more. That I want to hear from you. That I want to have a greater revelation of who Jesus is. In Jesus' name, amen.